definition of the word faculty or interior. Did you write them down in your books? The definition. Page 559, bottom paragraph. But what is this meaning of faculty, rulership, indriya that we have, and then A, B, C, and so on. So I gave you the right meaning of those. If you haven't written down,
ruler,
and A, B, C, D, and so on, right?
Yeah.
So I'll have to correct something there. E is mark of karma. E really means mark of karma. Mark of a ruler means mark of karma.
E?
Yeah, the first one, A.
Oh, A.
Yeah.
Nice.
Mark of a ruler, right?
Yeah.
So that means just mark of karma.
Oh.
And then B is taught by the Buddha. There you see being taught by a ruler. The ruler here means the Buddha. So taught by the Buddha actually. And then seen by the Buddha. They are seen by a ruler. And then D is prepared by karma. That means the result of karma. D, and then E, fostered by the Buddha. Right. So A, mark of karma. B, taught by the Buddha. C, seen by the Buddha. D, prepared by karma. And E, fostered by the Buddha. These are the meanings given for the word indriya in Pali. So today, we come to the definition of, or the explanation of birth and so on. On page 567, the truth of suffering, first birth. So the paragraph 32 gives the meanings of the word, the meanings, the word, the Pali word jati can have. Now, the word jati can have many meanings, and so these meanings are here given in this paragraph. Page 567. The truth of suffering, paragraph 32. So from this paragraph on, the explanations of dukkha explained again. The Buddha said, blood is suffering, aging is suffering, death is suffering, and so on. So these are explained one by one. So the paragraph 32 gives the meanings, the word, and the Pali word jati can have. And then the meaning appropriate here is pointed out at the end. So the word jati, how many meanings? Now, in the passage, he recollects one birth, two births, then it is becoming, that means it is one life, two life, and so on. And in the passage Visakha, there is a kind of ascetics called Nikanta chants. It is a monastic order. So in this passage, the word jati means a monastic order, or something like a religious denomination. Then in the passage, birth is included in two aggregates. It is the characteristic of whatever is formed. That means the first phase of existence. You know there are three phases of existence, arising, and then continuation, and death. So the first phase of existence, that is arising. So it is here called characteristic of whatever is formed. That means all formations have the characteristic of arising, and continuation, and disappear. So in this passage, the word jati means death. And then in the passage, his birth is due to the first consciousness arisen, the first cognition manifested in the mother's womb, it is rebirth name. So in that passage, the word jati means real relinking of the first moment in one's life. And then in the passage, as soon as he was born, Ananda, the Bodhisattva, it is parturition, that is the act of being born, really being born. In the passage, one who is not rejected and despised on account of birth, it is clan. Now here, the word jati or the birth means clan. So a person is not despised or rejected simply because he was born in a low caste or something like that. In the passage, sister, since I was born with a noble birth, it was uttered by Angulimala. It is the noble one's virtue. Here, noble birth really means becoming a noble person. So noble one's virtue. Here it should be regarded as the aggregates that occur from the time of rebirth linking up to the exit from the mother's womb in the case of the womb born, and as only the aggregates of rebirth linking in the case of the rest. Now here, jati, the word jati means aggregates that occur from the time of rebirth linking up to the exit from the mother's womb. That means during pregnancy. So that is called jati here. And as only the aggregates of rebirth linking in the case of the rest. Now, there are beings who are womb born and there are beings who are born spontaneous. So for those who are born spontaneously, just the rebirth linking, the aggregates at the moment of rebirth linking are called jati. But this is only an indirect treatment. In the direct sense, however, it is the first manifestation of any aggregates that are manifested in living beings when they are born anywhere, that is called birth. So birth means here. First, it is said that birth means from the conception until real birth, as like human for human beings. But for the other beings, like the devas, just the moment of rebirth or relinking. Now, in the paragraph 32, although it is not important here, the translation of one of the passages is quite wrong. About 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines. His birth is due to the first consciousness arisen, the first cognition manifested in the mother's womb. So that is wrong. This passage comes from Vinaya Pitaka. And you know, a person can become a monk only when he is 20 years of age. But if he is younger than 20 years of age, he cannot become a monk. But 20 years means 20 years from conception, not from birth. So Buddha was saying that. So a monk was ordained reckoning from the conception, and then later on he was suspicious of his being really a monk or not. So it was reported to the Buddha, and then Buddha said, "This is all right. So you must reckon 20 years from the moment of conception, not from the moment of birth from the mother's womb." So that is the passage here. But the translation here is not correct. So because he misunderstood one word there.
Is that always counted as exactly 9 months?
Mostly we count them as ten months.
10 months.
Yeah. But to be on the safe side, actually we do not take 10 months as the months during pregnancy, because sometimes people are born 7 months or whatever. So as for me, I was ordained when I was 19 years and 7 months. Right. So 19 years and 7 months. So this is a passage from the Vinaya Pitaka. And the translation of Vinaya Pitaka is correct translation. By I.B. Horner. There you can look there. In that book, Book of Discipline, Part 4, page 120. So you get the correct translation there. Now, paragraph 34. So each characteristic is the first genesis in any sphere of becoming. Characteristic, function, and manifestation are given. Its function is to consign to a sphere of becoming. It is manifested as an emerging here from a past becoming. Or it is manifested as the richness of suffering. But why is it suffering? Because it is the basis for many kinds of suffering. Why is this birth, this jati suffering? Because it is the basis for many kinds of suffering. And then many kinds of sufferings are explained here. And the most important are the first three, because they will be referred to again when explaining dukkha. So at least you have to remember these three, even if you remember the other ones. The first one is what? Dukkha, right? Intrinsic suffering. And the second one is viparinama dukkha, suffering in change. That means suffering when there is change. And then the third is suffering due to formation, sankhara dukkha. Suffering because they are formation. And then they are explained. And then conceived suffering, exposed suffering, indirect suffering, and direct suffering. Here in bodily and mental painful feeling are called intrinsic suffering. That means real suffering. Because in Pali you see the word repeated, dukkha. That means the real dukkha. A real dukkha is what? Bodily and mental painful feeling. There are feelings, pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, and neutral feeling. So here, unpleasant feeling or painful feeling. And both bodily and mental. So both bodily and mental painful feelings are called intrinsic suffering or dukkha. Because of their individual essence, their name, and their painfulness. Because they are real dukkha. The next is bodily and mental pleasant feeling are called suffering in chain. Now, this is good feeling, pleasant feeling, somanasa and sukha. Even they are called suffering here, dukkha, because when there is change, when they change, then there is dukkha. Because when you lose the good feeling, then you long for that, and so you are not happy. So that is called suffering in chain. So even here, pleasant feeling is called suffering. because they are the cause for the arising of pain, mind, and chain. And then the last one, the quantumless feeling and the remaining formations of the three planes. That means sensual plane, material plane, and immaterial plane are called suffering due to formation because they are oppressed by rise and fall. So Buddha said, whatever has rise and fall is impermanent, and whatever is impermanent is suffering. So whatever has rise and fall is suffering, actually. And since everything in the world, I mean, the world of formation has a beginning and an end, so everything in the world is suffering. So this is called Sankhara Dukkha. So this is the widest of the dukkhas. So at least try to remember these three: dukkha dukkha, viparinama dukkha, and sankhara dukkha. So nothing can escape sankhara dukkha. Nothing in the world, in this world, can escape. And then there are other kinds of dukkhas: say conceived suffering, exposed suffering, indirect suffering, and direct suffering. So they are not difficult to understand. Like cheekache or earache are called conceived suffering, because if you look at the person from a distance, you don't know that he is suffering. And exposed suffering is the affliction produced by the 32 tortures. There are 32 kinds of tortures mentioned in the suttas. Very, very frightening tortures. So when a person is tortured by one of these 32, and it is exposed suffering, because you can see that he is really suffering even from a distance. And then indirect suffering: except intrinsic suffering, all given in the exposition of the truth of suffering, beginning with birth, are also called indirect suffering, because they are the basis for one kind of suffering or another. They are basis for suffering, that's why they are called indirect suffering. But intrinsic suffering is called direct suffering. Intrinsic suffering means painful mental and bodily painful feeling. So that is called direct suffering. Here in this birth is suffering because it is the basis for the suffering in the states of loss, as made evident by the Blessed One by means of his simile in the Bala Pandita Sutta, etc. And for the suffering that arises in the happy destinies in the human world and is classed as rooted in the descent into the womb, and so on. And then suffering rooted in the descent into the womb, and others are explained here, given here. You call it baby? No, not yet a baby. In the mother's womb.
Fetus.
So the fetus is described as being very in a very painful position. I always say I'm not so much afraid of these dukkha because I didn't know. So the suffering in the mother's womb is described here. And then on next page, paragraph 39. When the mother has an abortion, that is not abortion. No, he misunderstood this. The Pali word is gabha mula. Mula means something like confused, and gabha means the womb. So it actually means difficult delivery. So when a woman cannot give birth to a child easily, that means difficult delivery. When there is a difficult delivery, then something has to do something to her, and so there is pain through cutting and rending in the place where the pains arise, and that is not fit to be seen, even the friend, and so on. So this is not abortion. If it was abortion, then it would be done very secretly, not let other people know. But here, other people have to help her. So it is not abortion, but it's difficult to divorce. And then the others are not difficult to understand. So this is the until the end of the paragraph 43 is the suffering beginning with in the mother's womb and then being reborn, being born from the mother's womb and so on. This is just to make you afraid of the suffering, afraid of suffering through blood and so on. The next one is eating, jera. Here also it is twofold, two kinds of jera or eating. That's a characteristic of whatever is formed. That means the second phase of existence, continuation. And in the case of a continuity, as the oldness of aggregates included in the single becoming, which oldness is known as brokenness. Brokenness means broken teeth and so on. And so on. The latter is intended here. So that is intended here. Not the jara, which is the characteristic of formation. But here jara means getting old. Your teeth are broken, you have white hair, and you cannot see well, and so on. And this aging has its characteristic, the maturing of aggregate. Its function is to lead on to death, and it is manifested as the vanishing of youth. It is suffering because of the suffering due to formations, and because it is a basis for suffering. So it is itself suffering, and also it is a basis for suffering. That's why it is described as dukkha or suffering. And then the aging is mentioned here. So these are not difficult to understand. But very touching explanation. So when you have to get old, then leadenness in all the limbs. That means weakness in all the limbs, decline and warping of the faculties, you don't see well, you don't hear well, and so on, vanishing of youth, undermining of strength, loss of memory and intelligence, contempt on the part of others, and so on.
Where is that?
Jera, yes. G-E-R-A, right. Jera. The next, death. Death is suffering. Death is also twofold. That is a characteristic of the form, that means the last phase of existence, with reference to which it is said aging and death are included in the aggregates. And that is severing of the connection of the life faculty included in the single becoming. That means just ordinary death. Life faculty. So, severing of life faculty or the disappearance of life faculty is called death, with reference to which it is said, so mortals are in constant fear that they will die. So the latter is intended here. Death with birth as its condition, death by violence, death by natural causes, death from exhaustion of the lifespan, death from exhaustion of merit are names for it. So these are all what is meant here. It has a characteristic of the fall and so on, so they are not difficult to understand. But one thing is here, its function is to disjoin. It is manifested as absent from the destiny. Now, here destiny really means this life. The Pali word is gati. So gati is always translated as destiny. That is why in the bracket it said, in which there was the rebirth. So that means this life. It should be understood as suffering because it is a basis of suffering. And then next one, sorrow. Sorrow is a burning in the mind, in one affected by loss of relatives and so on. Loss of relatives, loss of wealth, loss of youth, loss of health. Although in meaning, actually, although in reality, not in meaning, although in reality it is the same as grief, nevertheless it is inner consuming as its characteristic and so on. The Pali word here is atta, and atta is atta can mean meaning, or sometimes atta means reality. So here it means reality. In reality it is the same as grief, domanasa. Nevertheless it is inner consuming and so on. Soka. And the next one is lamentation. The Pali word is paridheva. Trouble, clamor on the part of one affected by loss of relatives and so on. That means crying aloud, saying some things. It says crying out at its characteristic. Its function is proclaiming virtues and vices. So if when someone dies, then people say, oh, he is a good man or he is bad or something. It is manifested as demons. It is suffering because it is a state of suffering due to formation, sankhara dukkha, and also because it is a basis of suffering. And the next one is pain. Here it is bodily pain. So bodily pain is also suffering, and it's also not difficult to understand. And then the next one is grief. It's mental pain, domanasa. Its characteristic is mental oppression and so on. It is suffering because it is intrinsic suffering. It is real suffering and it brings bodily suffering. So this mental suffering brings bodily suffering. For those who are gripped by mental pain, tear their hair, weep, hammer, press and twist and press, and throw themselves upside down, use a knife, swallow poison, hang themselves with ropes, walk into fires and undergo many kinds of suffering. That is why it is called suffering. And then the last one, despair. Here he misunderstood one word again. Despair is the same as the humor produced by excessive mental suffering in one affected by loss of relatives and so on. Pali word dosa. So he misunderstood the word dosa here. Because dosa can mean humor in the body. But here, it is simple. Dosa is dosa. So despair is anguish produced by excessive mental suffering. Because despair is mental nama, not rupa. So despair is anguish, or you can say just anger, but I think anguish is better. Anguish produced by excessive mental suffering in one affected by loss of relatives and so on. Some say that it is one of the states included in the formations aggregate. And the subcommentary didn't say who some were, but the subcommentary explained that one of the states included in the formation aggregate means it is not included in the unwholesome chetasika. So some say that it is something different from dosa, something outside the unwholesome chetasikas. But it is just for information. But the actual thing we have to take is that it means anguish, or in Pali it is dosa. Its characteristic is burning of the mind, its function is to bemoan, it is manifested as dejection. And it is suffering because it is suffering due to formation, sankhara dukkha, because of the burning of the mind and because of bodily dejection. And it is said. And then paragraph 53 gives the difference between sorrow, lamentation and despair. So sorrow is like the cooking of oil, etc., in a pot over a slow fire. So it is not so intense, sorrow. And lamentation is like it's boiling over from the pot when cooking over a quick fire. So first you are sorry and then you say something aloud. Despair is like what remains in the pot after it is boiled over and it is unable to do so anymore, going on cooking in the pot till it dries up. So, the portion that remains in the pot cannot spill over, and then cooking until it dries up. So that is, despair is like that. So, so in this paragraph, and the difference between sorrow, lamentation, and despair is explained. And then association with the unloved. So unloved here means both living beings and non-living beings. So meeting with disagreeable beings and formations, that means inanimate things. This is also dukkha. So if you have to live with a person whom you do not like, and that is dukkha. And if you have to be with a car which is giving you trouble, that is dukkha. So that is disagreeable formation. And then next one is separation from the love. So to be parted from the agreeable beings and formations, the same thing. So now people are suffering from separation from the love, the separation from beings, and also separation from their houses and so on. And then the next one, not to get what one wants, is also suffering. Yeah, not to get what one wants is explained as not to get what is unobtainable. Say we wish for something which is unobtainable, and then we are sorry for that. Not just say I want a car and I don't get a car, and it is dukkha. It is dukkha, yes. But Buddha meant more than that. So here, that is why here the passage, that we were not subject to birth is called suffering. We are always subject to, say, old age. And then we say, that you are not subject to old age. So it would be very good if you do not get old. But you will get old. So however much we want to, we don't want to get old. So that kind of thing is called not to get what one wants. Old age, death, and also rebirth. Its characteristic is the wanting of an unobtainable object. Its function is to seek that it is manifested with it as disappointment. It is suffering because it is a basis for suffering. And then in short, the five aggregates as objects of clinging are suffering. So the five aggregates are themselves suffering. Now, in paragraph 58, for birth, etc., thus oppressed, the planted of aggregates as objects of clinging, as fire does fuel, as shooting does a target. Actually, as weapon does a target, not shooting. As cat flies, etc., do a cow's body, as repairs do a field, as village breeders do a village, and they are generated in the aggregates as weeds, creepers, etc., are on the ground, as flowers, fruits, and sprouts are on trees. So they oppress the five aggregates, and they live on the five aggregates, the clinging. So and the aggregates as objects of clinging have birth as their initial suffering, aging as their medial suffering, and death as their final suffering. And the suffering due to burning in one who is the victim of the pain that threatens death is sorrow and so on. So sorrow, lamentation, and all these are shown here as caused by the five aggregates of clinging. That is why Buddha said the five aggregates are suffering. The five aggregates of clinging are suffering. So this is actually the philosophical meaning of the word dukkha. The others are not so difficult to understand. See, birth is dukkha, aging is dukkha, death is dukkha, and so on. But this is not so easy to understand. In order to understand this, you have to understand the third of the suffering, that is sankhara dukkha, suffering due to formation. So if you understand sankhara dukkha, you can understand this. And then the commentator said, it is impossible to tell it all without remainder, showing each kind of suffering, even by going on doing so for many years. So the Blessed One said, in short, the five aggregates of clinging are suffering. Then the next one, the truth of the origin of suffering. In the description of the origin, the expression yayam kana, these are the what explanations. So they don't need much. And it is the making become again. That means it causes rebirth. That it is becoming again. Becoming again as its habit, thus it produces further becoming. So these are what explanations. Then the next explanation is the expression Nandi Raga Sahagata in Pali. And it is translated as accompanied by concern and grief. But the explanation given here is that it is identical in meaning with delight and grief. So here, it does not mean that it is accompanied by delight and grief, but it is delight and grief. Now, if you have studied Abhidhammata Sangha, you may know the word Sahagata, right? Mm-hmm. Sahagata means what? Rising together with. Yeah. But sometimes the word Sahagata has no meaning at all. So here, the word Sahagata has no special meaning, like arising together or accompanied by. So it is identical with Nandiraga or the light and greed. Concerned with this and that. That means delighting in this and that. Whenever personality is generated, that means whenever life is generated, there is delight in that life. That means according to Abhidhamma, immediately after birth, or when a person takes rebirth, so there is rebirth thought process, right? Rebirth thought process. In that rebirth thought process, there are jhavanas, impulsion. And these jhavanas are always accompanied by lobha. So we begin our lives with lobha, actually, because we are fresh in this new life and we have attachment to this life. So we begin with this attachment. That is why it is said, wherever personality is generated, there is concern with that. Actually, wherever life is generated or wherever there is rebirth, there is delight or attachment to that rebirth. And then the expression that is to say seyatidam is a particle, the Pali word seyatidam. Its meaning is which is there. Craving for sense desires, craving for becoming, craving for non-becoming will be explained in the description of the dependent origination, so we will find it later. These are also important three kinds of craving. Craving for sense desire, craving for becoming, craving for non-becoming. So they'll be explained later. Although this is threefold, it should nevertheless be understood as the truth, the noble truth of the origin of suffering, taking it as one in the sense of it generating the truth of suffering. So it is a cause of suffering, or origin of suffering. And then the truth of the cessation of suffering, the third truth. In the description of the cessation of suffering, it is the cessation of the origin that is stated by the word that which is, and then of that same craving and so on. Why is that? Because the cessation of suffering comes about with the cessation of its origin. For it is with the cessation of its origin that suffering ceases, not otherwise. Now, when Buddha describes the truth of cessation of suffering, Buddha said that the cessation of craving is cessation of suffering. So Buddha did not say the end of suffering or end of suffering is the third noble truth, but he said the cessation of or abandonment of origin or craving is the cessation of suffering. So that is because when there is no origin or no cause, there is no effect. Hence it is said, just as a tree cut down grows up again while yet it still remains unharmed and sound, so with the tendency to create intact, this suffering is ever to be reproduced. So it is because suffering ceases only through the cessation of its origin that when teaching the cessation of suffering, the Blessed One therefore taught the cessation of the origin. So he explained that it is the cessation of craving. So cessation of craving equals cessation of dukkha and suffering, something like that. For the perfect ones behave like lions. When they make suffering cease and when they teach the cessation of suffering, they deal with the cause, not the fruit. But the sectarians behave like dogs. You know, the others are always something bad to say about those of the other faith. When they make suffering cease and when they teach the cessation of suffering, they teach by teaching devotion to self-modification, etc., they deal with the fruit, not the cause. This in the first place is how the mode for teaching the cessation of suffering by means of the cessation of its origin should be understood. And then how Buddhas are like lions and how sectarians are like dogs is explained in the footnote. So just as a lion directs his strength against the man who shot the arrow at him, not against the arrow, so the Buddha deal with the cause, not with the fruit. But just as dogs can struggle with the claw, snarl and bite the claw and do not attack the striker, so the sectarians who want to make suffering cease devote themselves to mutilating the body and to causing cessation of defilement. Of that same craving, of that craving which it was said produces further becoming and which was classed as craving or sense desires and so on, it is the part that is called fading away. For with the fading away he is liberated, he said. Fading away and cessation is cessation through fading away. Remainderless fading away and cessation is cessation through fading away, that is remainderless because of eradication of inherent tendency. Or alternatively, it is abandoning that is called fading away. And so the construction here can be regarded as remainderless fading away, remainderless and cessation. Now, the Pali word here is asesa viraga nirodha. So three words joined together into one word. And viraga is translated here as fading away. And asesa, remainderless. Nirodha, cessation. So remainderless, fading away, cessation. So the first explanation is that the fading away, according to the first explanation, we cannot translate it as fading away and cessation. We should translate it as cessation through fading away. Fading away here means actually path, magga. So the word viraga here means magga. So according to the first explanation, the translation should be cessation through fading away, or cessation through matter. the second explanation, according to the second explanation, the fading away means just fading away, not the path here. And cessation is cessation. And remainderless should be conjoined with both words. So remainderless fading away and remainderless cessation. According to the first explanation, it is remainderless cessation through fading away. According to the second explanation, it is remainderless fading away and remainderless cessation. Alternatively, it is abandoning that is called fading away. And so the construction here can be regarded as remainderless fading away, remainderless cessation. But as to meaning, here also, but in essence, not as to meaning, but in essence, all of them are synonyms for Nibbana. Thank you.